Water. Earth. Fire. Air. Months ago, all of us could come and go as we pleased, in harmony. Then everything changed when the pandemic attacked. Only the TV series, Avatar, The Last Airbender, a series our friends kept telling us about, would stop us from anxiously watching the news. But just when we needed to stream it most, it vanished.
About a month had passed, and my cousin and I discovered that Avatar, a show about an airbender named Aang, would start streaming on Netflix in a few weeks. And although our podcasting skills are great, we had a lot of episodes to watch before we were ready to podcast for anyone. But we believe Aang saved us from the chaos of our world. This is Kin Folklore, Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Welcome back.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, we're really excited to be covering Avatar, The Last Airbender. Now back on Netflix.
Woo-hoo!
The fan energy has been so great this week. We have some new listeners, so we just want to take a moment to reintroduce ourselves. I'm Andrea, and Paul and I are cousins who just love fantasy and sci-fi, and we talk about it pretty much endlessly.
We would be having these conversations even if we weren't recording them, for sure. So we, you know, decided to start this podcast so that we could share our excitement and observations with you. And it's been a lot of fun so far. In our first season, we covered His Dark Materials. For our second season, we covered The Witcher. And through those podcasts and interacting with our fans, we found, you know, a deeper love of both those stories and an appreciation of those worlds. And we're excited to be doing the same with Atla.
Because the episodes of Avatar are much shorter than what we previously covered, we changed our format a bit. Each week, we will cover a block of episodes rather than just one. We'll provide a summary and talk through the themes introduced and what we learned. Last week, we discussed episodes 1 through 4, and we'll be talking about episodes 5 through 8 this week. So if you haven't watched Atla through at least episode 8 of book 1, you should do that before listening to this podcast.
We also want to let you know that this podcast will have adult content.
It will.
It's going to be there. And if you're against adult commentary on failed speeches to save the tribe of your crush's side piece or dodging stink pellets, this might not be the pod for you, all right? And if you're into that sort of thing, though, think of us as your personal spa day, your own spa day, like General Iroh, and let's keep this party going. So we start off episode 5. The episode's called The King of Amashu. And Team Avatar has arrived at the Earth Kingdom in the city of Amashu, and they decided Aang should enter in a disguise as an elderly man using some of Appa's hair.
It's a real bad disguise.
He
looks awful.
Really bad. Really bad Halloween costume that's going on here. They approach the city's gate, and just as they approach the gate, there's a poor merchant being accosted pretty much by the guards about the quality of his cabbages and how terrible they are. Rest in peace to the cabbages.
They earthbended his cabbages over the bridge.
These guys hate veggies.
It was terrible.
They hate veggies, and cabbage is barely even a vegetable, and they hate them. It's wild.
My cabbages!
Oh, my cabbages! Oh, man. So they talk their way into the city. Aang explains the Amashu delivery system, which includes earthbending, chutes, and gravity to move packages around the system. And I just want to ask the people of Amashu, please, and I do mean please, give our government some help with supply chain management. Anything you could do would be helpful, okay? We need help with PPE. We need you to slide some stuff down your chutes. Get it to us, please.
Amashu does seem much more organized than, like, a lot of modern societies. I'm just going to
Way better. Way better. Like, delivery systems on time. Things are just, like, moving. It's great. So, like, we could use some help over here. So Aang is, reminiscing about his time when he entered the city. He's been here before, 100 years ago. It's been a while, but he remembers it. And he's talking about the rides that he used to take through the city with his friend, Bumi. He's telling this to Katara and Sokka, and he wants them to take one of these rides. And immediately, as per the usual, they're faced with danger.
On brand.
Very on brand for Team Avatar, right? They end up creating havoc in their wake, landing on the poor Cabbage Guy's cart once again, and pretty much breaking up everything. Let's talk about this. This guy, Aang, has been in the city for 5 minutes with his friends. He's disrupted the delivery services. The farming community is pissed off. The city's defenses have been interrupted and messed up. And while he was at it, he also pissed off the artistic community and the home design industry by shattering the poor potter's like work at his artisanal shop. Okay? So I'm just wondering, you know, you can piss off the vegans and the hipsters, or you can choose the government and the military. But to manage to unite both these factions against one person, you may just be the savior of the world. Maybe.
I just want to say that I don't think there's enough appreciation for the Cabbage Guy. The Cabbage Guy is a working man. I do want to understand how he got more cabbages. That seems to be a plot hole. His whole cart went all over the like little bridge to the city, and yet he has plenty of cabbages that Aang can destroy. But this is the working guy. Like I felt for him. Like he's out here trying to just sell some veggies to people, and this is what he gets in return. Of course, he, you know, turns savage in like the next scene.
Yeah. So let's get to that, right? So they arrest these guys because they basically have broken up everything, and they charge them with vandalism, traveling under false pretenses with a terrible disguise, and malicious destruction of cabbages.
Who knew that was a law? Like,
I didn't know either. Yeah. I was pretty shocked. The Cabbage Guy wants them executed, like on some real angry vegan shit. Like, justice for the Sprout Nation. Kill these motherfuckers. Like, kill them. And the king doesn't do that. He invites them for a feast after, you know, eyeing them a little closely and kind of looking them over. He's like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. Let's have a feast. So at the feast, the king tricks Aang into revealing that he's an airbender and deduces that he is the Avatar and imprisons them all in the newly refurbished chamber. You mean the old chamber? No, the newly refurbished chamber. Oh, which one is that? The one that is the old chamber, but now is the newly refurbished chamber. There's a lot of confusion around the accommodations is what I'm getting at.
I mean, it was nice though. Yeah.
It was stellar. I mean, for a cell?
I was like, this is the prison? Like, I don't know. Yeah. This is really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's really cool. So the king announces that Aang will face 3 challenges the next day. And he's very strange, really weird. And it's remarked by both Sokka and Katara that he's a bit crazy multiple times, right?
He's a little eccentric. Yeah. A little eccentric.
A little eccentric for sure. And so Team Avatar sends Momo through the air vents of their prison cell. And they want him to find Appa and then they go to bed. When Aang awakes, Sokka and Katara are missing. And the king says he sent one of his guards to get him. And when he gets over to the king, he says he'll release them when Aang completes the challenges. He puts Genomite, aka a creepy crystal, on each of their fingers and says he can stop it from taking over their entire bodies if Aang cooperates. It's kind of like, you know, because he knew Aang was going to be like, no, I'm not going to do the challenge and you just let us go. We're going to get out of here. And he was like, no, none of those games, man. I want to see you do these challenges. So in the first challenge, Aang must retrieve a key from a waterfall surrounded by spikes. And
he does it. Yeah, he figures it out.
It was good. And it was, he thought, and the thing about it though, that I want to just mention is the king is talking major shit while he's doing it. He is like,
he's
a
like,
huge...
try again. Nope. That's not the way.
Oh, the latter. That's not the first time anyone's tried that. You know what I mean? The king is really out here like doing too much. He's doing the most. So for sure. No question.
Talking mad trash.
Mad trash. It's crazy. So, you know, Aang completes that challenge. And in the next challenge, you know, he has to catch the king's pet, Flopsy. And Aang initially believes that Flopsy is a cute little rabbit. But no, Flopsy is a goat gorilla.
And Flopsy is big. Like,
Flopsy's huge.
He's huge. Yeah.
He becomes friendly, though, once Aang calls him by his name and realizes who he is. You know, all people want is to be recognized. Recognition is important. Mm-hmm. Even pets. So by the time of the final challenge, Sokka and Katara are almost entirely covered in crystal. And Aang is tasked with fighting a champion. He gets to choose between three people. He chooses the two warriors that the king has brought forward or the king. And of course, he chooses the king because the king is old and frail. But under his royal garb, the king is brolic.
Yeah, he's been working out.
He starts out, right, looking like Maester Aemon and ends up looking like Khal Drogo. All right? Serious Jason Momoa vibes happening on this whole thing. So not to mention, he's also, and he calls it out. He calls it out. He says he's also the most incredibly skilled earthbender like around. Like he knows how to do it. Like he's just nice at it. And Sokka and Katara watch in horror as Aang appears to be struggling and he's losing. And at this point, it seems like the king is just showing off. And still, Michael Jordan-esque talking shit. Like he is like talking that shit. And he sends an enormous boulder Aang's way. Aang creates a tornado and gets an advantage and passes the test. But, you know, even when he passes the test, the king is holding a big boulder over his head and then kindly elects to just throw it off to the side. And Aang essentially has passed the third test. But then the king says, there's one more trial, one more thing that I need for you to do. And Aang is like, that's not fair. Yeah,
I was with Aang. I was totally with Aang. I was so pissed. I was like, no. I'm sorry. You said three trials. Like,
yeah.
What? Now we have quizzes at the end? I was
got
really,
pop quizzes. Yeah, pop quizzes.
This was not cool.
Yeah. It was. He did. He was playing, you know, he was playing a little dirty. So, but it's for a good cause. So what he says is, the last thing you need to do is answer one question. What's my name? And Aang struggles with that. And he's trying to think, what is his name? How am I supposed to know his name? And, you know, Sokka offers up some advice. He wants to call him Rocky, to which
great suggestion. We'll try again.
Yeah, she's like, let's put a pin in that one. This guy has a backup plan. You know, like, not going to happen. So, you know, so they move, they're thinking about it. And then Aang realizes, after really thinking about it, that the king is Bumi, his friend, his childhood friend that he was reflecting on in the city of Amashu. And when he figures it out, they run to each other and he's like excited. And they both say how happy they are to see each other. And Bumi tells him that his purpose of the test was so that Aang could learn something and that he wanted him to think like a mad genius. He wanted him to think like what Aang used to call him. He used to call his friend a mad genius. And he wanted him to think that way because he's going to need to be able to master the elements and face the Fire Lord. And the episode ends with Bumi and Aang taking a ride through the delivery system, just like the old days.
Aww.
It was nice.
Yeah, it was nice. I liked this episode. It was silly, but I liked it a lot.
Me too.
So episode 6 is called Imprisoned. At the beginning of this episode, Team Avatar is having a hard time. They're hungry. Sokka finds some food, but it's
shitty,
not really food.
Shitty food options. Really shitty food options. Really bad.
Even Momo is like, I don't know if we can eat this.
How do you eat rocks? That's like rocks. And oh yeah, things that kind of look like rocks, but may actually just be rocks. You know what I mean? It's super wild.
Their struggling is interrupted by a loud booming noise, and they go to follow the noise because that's really brilliant. Never go investigate. What is wrong with these kids? Have they ever seen a horror movie?
I relate to them, though. You know what? Team Avatar right now, they're running up on strangers the way I will be when social distancing regulations are lifted. I'll be like, hey, my name is Paul. How are you? What's going on? What's happening? Hey. Like, it's... I relate.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy because they meet this young airbender who is practicing, and they're just, Katara is just like.
He's an earthbender though. The earthbender.
Oh,
right?
I'm sorry. I keep doing that. Yeah. They find this young earthbender who is practicing, and Katara is just like, hey, after Sokka's like, maybe we should take it a little slow here. she's just like, hi. I'm Katara.
She's kind of like, hey, like, you know what I mean? Cute little earthbender. What's going on? Like,
well, really, yeah. I mean, yeah. She's definitely, she definitely has a little thing for the earthbender. So they follow him to his village because, you know, they're hungry and they're figuring if there's a village, there must be food, and into a shop that's run by his mother. The boy's name is Haru, and his mother is totally alarmed when she hears that he's been earthbending.
Yeah, and Katara is out here swiping right, okay, with the new exotic earthbender boy. She's like, and Aang is out here air hustling the conversation, like the nosy younger sibling. He wants to know what's going on. Friend zone for you, sir. Friend zone. You can't, I mean, is he not picking up the awkward teenage sexual tension that's brewing between these two?
I don't think that he knows what that is. So no.
I don't think he does either, but yeah. Friend zone for that guy, for sure. It's already happening early.
I don't think he sees it at all. The Fire Nation has been ruling over this village like tyrants, also on brand. Earthbending has been forbidden, and they imprison all of the earthbenders, including Haru's father, which made me really sad. Like, yeah. He's been just like Katara, right? He's been separated from his dad, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
So, you know. Katara and Haru get to know each other a little bit.
They take a nice little walk, you know?
A little stroll. She's telling him about her mother's necklace, which is really, really important. She wears it to remind her of the loss of her mother and the connection that she has to her and her grandmother. And they find a miner who's been trapped under a collapsing mine. Katara convinces Haru to use earthbending to free the miner. They do try to free him just by pulling him out, but it seems impossible. And so he does it. Maybe he was flexing a little bit.
It was super flexing. Are you kidding me? He's like, he was showing out. Like, after taking on a nice walk and then sitting there and bonding over their lost parents, and they would looked at the sunset over a cliff. Why not show off a little bit? I'm down. Yeah, I like his moves. Smooth moves.
He was flexing. It was smooth. But that gets him into trouble because apparently the miner is a snitch.
Snitches get stitches. What's happening? What is going on with this guy? He helped him out. He saved his life.
Yeah. I was so mad at this miner. He turned him into the Fire Nation authorities, and he gets arrested in the middle of the night as well. Like, they come to his house and just take him in the middle of the night. So Katara comes up with a brilliant plan of also getting arrested. What? So she comes up with this whole plan where they're going to, like, pretend that she's an earthbender so she can also be captured. Aang has a part in it. He's going to use airbending to create the effect.
Yeah.
Per usual, Aang is only, like, kind of vaguely paying attention to the plan.
He's, like, unengaged. You're talking about taking someone, one of his friends, someone who he has clearly been trying to impress, captive. And he's all like, yeah, okay, cool, I'll do it when you guys are ready.
Yeah, let me know when you guys want me to do it. And they're like, we have a plan. Like, stick to the plan.
Yeah.
So Sokka and Katara have a fake fight in which she pretends to move a boulder. And it's not quite on cue, but Aang does eventually shoot up the boulder using airbending. It's so funny because the guards initially think that Momo is the one doing the earthbending. The guard's like, oh my god, that lemur is an earthbender.
And Momo's face is precious. He's like, what? You guys are that? What? I get what's going on here. How do you not? It's hilarious.
But Katara, I think after Sokka is like, no, it's like her. Katara is imprisoned and she's taken to an ocean prison. It's basically like a liner where they imprison all the earthbenders. And Sokka and Aang follow on Appa. Like all the members of the Fire Nation, the warden of this prison is a massive drama queen. Like, him and Zuko could be related. He is a huge drama queen. He almost burns somebody for coughing.
Shitty host. Like, let's call it what it is. He's like a really shitty host. Like, the guy, like, literally goes to solitary for having allergies. Like, bad.
Yeah, he's like, we consider you guests, cough, cough, and then, like, completely overreacts. So,
yeah.
He does warn them that the rig is entirely made of metal, so earthbending is impossible. Katara is reunited with Haru and meets his father. And she discovers that they have absolutely no plan to escape. his dad is kind of like, there's no way we can escape safely, so we're not going to do it. Their spirit's been broken by being in prison.
Yeah.
Katara can't take this. Like, this is not her way. She always wants to do what's right. And so she decides she's going to spit an epic speech to inspire the Earthbenders into me.
Michelle Obama stump speech.
It was a great speech. I was clapping. I was cheering. I was the only one because the speech is met with complete silence. The Earthbenders are all looking at her like, nice speech, but we've been here for a while and we know how dangerous this place is.
Yeah.
But despite this, Katara's not going to give up. Aang and Sokka come to rescue her and she decides to stay and they all work on devising a plan. Meanwhile, two of the guards see Appa flying away and report it to the warden, who legit throws one of them overboard.
But not before debating, you know, like which type of mammal it was. Was it a bison? What was it? Like, and he's like, okay, you don't know. You got to get out of here. It's wild.
Yeah. This guy is such a drama queen. It's ridiculous.
I mean, the specificity of needing to know what kind of mammal it is for any reason is ridiculous. There was a mammal flying, sir. It doesn't matter what it was. Let's just figure out what's going on.
So during their plan, Aang realizes the rig is burning coal for power. And coal is Earth. So their plan is to close all of the vents. And Aang is going to use airbending to push the coal to the top of the vent, which would then give the Earthbenders an opportunity to have access to some Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So the warden mocks Katara because, you know, he's the warden. Haru and his father are not cool with this. They do start to fight back and the other Earthbenders join them and send the warden and his men out to sea on a giant piece of floating rock, basically.
All the bass came out of his voice. I can't swim! No! It was like from ha ha. Oh, what am I gonna do? Like it was done.
They thank Katara for helping them to find their courage and say they will go back home and reclaim their village. At that moment, Katara realizes that her mother's necklace is gone. And sometime later, we see Zuko picking it up from a distance.
Looking salty.
I kind of miss Zuko. I'm not going to lie. Like,
yeah, it was good to see him.
Yeah. It was like, where has this guy been?
Him and his questionable honor. Nice.
Honor. My honor.
Oh, man. I wonder if the exotic earthbender is going to give Aang a run for his money for the attention of one Katara. I guess we'll stick a pin in that.
Listen. First of all, can we just say that he's closer to her age? He's new. She's a young woman.
Yeah.
She's out here always in battle. Her brother has found his little crush. You know, why? Let Katara live. Katara should have somebody too.
Listen, Katara's one of my favorites on the show. You'll have no argument from me. I just think it's funny that, like, you know, the main character right now is definitely being friend zoned for sure. He's getting. It's real Jorah Daenerys vibes right now. Real, like, real, real grimy. All right. So, episode 7, Winter Solstice, part 1, The Spirit World. Team Avatar comes across a barren forest, and Aang, he's really upset by the sight of the forest. You can really feel the weight in this moment that he wasn't around to protect the forest, to protect this living thing. And as he's feeling down, Katara asks him, you know, are you ready for me to cheer you up? And he's like, not really. But she comes across an acorn. And she says, listen, this acorn is a symbol that says that the forest is going to come back alive. It's going to come back and it'll grow again. And that's good news. And, you know, Aang thanks her. Thanks. You know, he just wants to let her know that he appreciates her thinking about him in this way. And meanwhile, Zuko hassles his uncle about moving quickly to catch the Avatar. As usual, Iroh is relaxing and enjoying life. And he's in a hot tub.
Yeah, he's
heating himself.
I feel like Iroh has the right idea. Yes, it's really important that Zuko find that Avatar for his honor, blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't mean they can't relax.
I mean, he even says it. Trust your teacher. Relax. Cool out. The Avatar is going to be there. Take this spa day, bro. Soak it in. Soak it in. And Zuko, of course, is like, you know, no. We got to go. We got to get the Avatar. And then his uncle stands up and he's like, you know what? On second thought, no, I'm just take your time. All right. I'll be out by the boat. You just, you know, put that thing away. And then just as Katara is attempting to cheer up Aang, an elderly villager approaches them. And he says that his village, Senlin, needs their help because a spirit monster comes to attack each night and has done so in the last three nights. So the villager explains, a monster known as the Heibai is causing havoc and abducting villagers. Once the winter solstice arrives, the line between the spirit world and the natural world draws closer and you're able to see things from each. Aang is told that he is the bridge between man and spirit. And at that moment, Katara was like, hey, bridge guy, I'm going to come over here and have a little chat. I want to talk to you a little bit. And you seem a little unsure. Yeah, I'm not seeing the confidence in what you're saying. And Aang is like, truthful. It's because I don't know anything about the spirit world. There's not like a manual for this. Nobody taught me this. Like, and you know, basically Sokka in his epic Sokka fashion is basically like, we're going to get eaten by a big spirit monster. And I thought that was hilarious. So going back to the hot tub, Uncle Iroh he fell asleep. He, you know, didn't meet, you know, Zuko out by the boat, fell asleep in the hot tub, really, really digging into the self-care regimen that he's constructing for himself. And
I mean, he does wake up for this little like vole to come in and have, he gets distracted by the cute little woodland creature.
Yeah, it's true.
That comes visit.
Before there's a landslide coming towards his hot tub and he's like, what is this? And it is a bunch of earthbenders. They recognize who he is, that he's the Fire Lord's brother, and he's captured by the earthbenders. Back with Team Avatar, Aang is trying to summon the spirit by just calling out to it. Like, hey, spirit. Hey, spirit, come on. It's like you know, it's like he's trying to call his pet, you know? It's pretty funny. So it's pretty ineffective. The Heibai actually does show up, though, and starts to basically destroy the village. Sokka tries to help Aang and is immediately captured. Why, Sokka?
I just feel like this was what solidified for me that Sokka is a Gryffindor. This was big Gryffindor energy.
It was.
This is something that Harry Potter or Ron would do. This is what they would do.
Yeah. You're like just barely becoming a decent warrior. You have no discernible bending skills. This is not the moment to be like, just, I don't understand. You're more of the strategy. You're the strategy guy. You know what I mean? Like, that's it.
I mean, but is he even really?
Yeah, I was trying to.
I love Sokka. Like, I think he does great things for the team, but they don't really listen to him.
No.
You know, like, he kind of reminds me of Quill from Guardians. Like, no one really listens to him. He's brave,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He frequently, when they're about to do something foolish, he is like, can we rethink this?
Yeah.
But this was not smart.
No, this was definitely not it. And in his attempt to rescue Sokka, Aang, who's flying, falls out of the sky near a statue of a bear. Aang returns to the village, but no one can see him. And he realizes that he's in the spirit world. He can't airbend, and he's seeing a spirit dragon come towards him. And he wants to airbend instinctually. And Aang realizes that this dragon is Avatar Roku's animal guide, just like Appa is his. And asks the dragon to take him to Roku. And that moment, Team Fire Nation is having their own problems. Iroh, bucking naked, on the back of a horse. leaves clues for Zuko to find him in the form of his slipper. Iroh is able to see the dragon and Aang as they fly by, but no one else can see it, which is interesting. We'll see.
Yeah, I just wanted to note this. Why do we? It's not really clear. I mean, I guess it will be revealed later, but like, no one else seems to be affected by this. If I saw a dragon, like,
yeah.
They're just kind of chilling and doing their thing and you know, I guess fixated on their prisoner, but he clearly sees it and they the earthbenders don't.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think the earthbenders see it at all, sense it at all, which makes me think about General Iroh, Uncle Iroh. You know, he seems very powerful. And part of his power is also that he's so relaxed. Like, he's not... like, he's in situations that most people would panic in, and he feels completely in control of the situation at all times. Even when it seems like the problem is so big, he doesn't seem like he's worried in the least bit. Totally unbothered. So,
yeah, he's very confident.
Yeah.
Which I really like. And he, you know, he kind of gives off this idea that he's not all there. He's not really paying attention, but he's really smart. So,
agreed. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, with that, he executes an escape plan, and Roku's animal guide, Fang, takes Aang to a temple on an island, and Aang learns through a vision that Roku wants to speak to him about a comet, but will only be able to do so during the winter solstice. At this point, Katara and Appa fly over the forest to see if they can find Aang and Sokka. Zuko sees them and has to make a difficult choice. Does he chase the Avatar? For his destiny and his honor and his Or does he save his uncle from the earthbenders? He chooses to save his uncle. Just as the earthbenders are trying to punish Iroh for attempting to escape, Zuko and Iroh defeat these soldiers with a great line. He says, there's five of us and two of you. You're outnumbered. He says, that is true, but you're outmatched. And that was like, I was like, dang, this guy is a G. Iroh is a G for real. Like,
yeah, no, he's, you can tell he's been through some dangerous stuff before. Yeah. And I like Iroh a lot.
Just to double back real quick, that the fact that the slipper was left, I mean, it was a slipper or, you know, we'll call them Nike slides. They were left for him to be like as a breadcrumb, and that his instinct wasn't like, hey, this looks like my uncle's slipper, but to sniff it? What the hell is going on with Zuko? He's like, oh yeah, that's definitely my uncle. Like, even, how do you know? You smelling his feet, bro? Like, what's happening? It's weird.
Also, he just got out of a bath.
Yeah.
Like, okay. All right. I mean, I don't know. Maybe his uncle has a particular scent. I don't, it doesn't seem pleasant from Zuko's expression.
No, does not. Does not.
Yeah.
But cool. Cool, I thought it was just a funny part of the episode. I love. So Aang at this point, after getting this message that he needed from Avatar Roku, he returns to his body and makes it back to the village. At that point, you know, he's reunited with Katara, who wants to know, where's her brother? Where's Sokka? And he says, I couldn't find him. And then the spirit animal returns. And Aang sees that the spirit is angry about the destruction of nature and of the forest. And Aang then does the same thing that Katara did for him in the beginning of the episode and shows the spirit animal the acorn. Lets the spirit animal know that, hey, this is, you know, actually going to mean that the forest is actually going to grow back. And essentially, at that point, the spirit is satisfied and leaves and releases the people that it's captured. But as it's leaving, it actually transforms into the form of a bear. And then nature grows up around the entrance to the town. And then the people come, townspeople come in. And that's pretty much close to how the episode ends. But then Aang ends it by telling his friends that the next mission that he has to go on is to go to a temple on an island in the Fire Nation and have a conversation with Avatar Roku.
Oof.
A lot.
I love that episode.
Me too.
Yes, it's a lot. And it's a first part of a 2-episode arc. The next part is episode 8, Winter Solstice 2, Avatar Roku. Aang tries to sneak away from the village. It's just probably a few hours after we ended the previous episode. And he's leaving with Appa without Katara or Sokka.
But wait, before you even go any further, like, as he's like trying to explain what he has to do to the village, to the head of the village, he's all like, thank you so much. Just go. God tells him, he pieces him out like super quick. Like, yo, get out of here.
Appa is not at all cool with leaving Katara and Sokka. Like, he's just, like, not going. But then, you know, once they say they're going and get aboard, Appa flies off.
Love it.
Almost as soon as they are gone, our boy Zuko arrives in the village. and learns, after probably intimidating the villagers, that Team Avatar is heading towards the Crescent Island. Iroh tells Zuko back on the ship how foolish it is to head back into the Fire Nation territory. Yeah. I mean, as a reminder, these two are on the run. They've been exiled.
Yeah.
But, you know, Zuko is like, no, like, if I can catch the Avatar, I should be welcome back.
This guy is so one note. I need the Avatar.
Yeah, he's just like obsessed with getting back in his father's good graces. This is at the point where I started feeling bad for Zuko,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because I was like, he's putting himself in danger just because he wants to go home, mm-hmm. which is understandable.
Mm-hmm.
So they quickly catch up with Team Avatar, but they both encounter a problem. There's a blockade. Both Team Avatar and Team Zuko decide that they're going to run the blockade. And the blockade is run by our old friend, Commander Zhao.
Letting off those hot stinkers.
He's the worst. Like, I like how we can just be united. Whether you're Team Zuko or you're Team Avatar, we can be entirely united in one thing, which is that Commander Zhao is trash.
He's trash. Like, there's no question. Like, super duper trash. Like, yeah, of course. Yeah, we're just
total garbage.
Yeah.
Team Avatar makes it through the blockade, and this was like a super cool scene. I just love this scene. This whole episode is great, but like this scene, they just run through the blockade. Appa is nearly injured, and Sokka almost dies because he falls off of Appa.
Yeah.
Aang performs his coolest airbending trick I think we've seen yet, yeah, and destroys a fireball that's heading their way. And Zhao then decides that he's going to let Zuko follow them. Zuko's about to be intercepted by the blockade, but Zhao's like, I'm going to let Zuko into the Fire Nation and follow them.
Yeah.
Basically, because he figures that where Zuko goes, that's where the Avatar is. So Team Avatar finally arrives at the temple and encounters a number of what we learn to be called fire sages. They protect the temple. One of the fire sages, Shaiyu, offers to take them to Roku through a series of hidden tunnels. Shaiyu knew Aang was coming because weeks ago, while Team Avatar was at the air temple, Avatar Roku's statue, his eyes glowed,
yeah,
which also happened when they were at the air temple. Mm-hmm. So these two statues are clearly connected. Mm. Shaiyu tells them that the sages were forced to serve the Fire Lord when the Avatar disappeared, but he never wanted to serve the Fire Lord, which is why he's kind of gone rogue.
Yep.
When they arrive at the door to the chamber is locked and only five fire sages can open it. Or the fully realized Avatar. And at this moment, they have a partially realized Avatar and only one fire sage.
Yeah.
So they're kind of stuck. You know, our boy Sokka.
See, a little strategy.
Yeah. This is clutch. He comes up with a plan, mm-hmm, to create a fake firebending effect. The plan does not work. But Katara is like, okay, the plan doesn't work, but it looked like it worked.
Mm.
So they decide to use trickery so that the fire sages will actually open the door for them.
And Aang taking shots, talking about when she's all like, oh my God, Sokka, you're a genius. He's all like, yo, but his plan didn't work. And she's all like, yeah, but it looks like it worked. And they did, did somebody change the definition of genius? Shots.
Yeah, that was so mean. Poor Sokka.
Poor Sokka, man.
So what they do is they send Momo. Momo, by the way, regularly comes through for these
unsung
guys.
Hero.
Yeah, really. Unsung hero. Yep. They send him through the pipes, and it looks like someone is in the chamber. So when the fire sages actually show up, they have to use fire bending to get into the chamber. Zuko, at this point, has arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's out here bullying people because that's what he does. Mm-hmm. As the chamber opens and Team Avatar tries to make it through, he manages to capture Katara and Sokka. But Aang is actually able to get through and he's able to speak to Avatar Roku as soon as the solstice is in process. So Roku tells him that 100 years ago, Fire Lord Sozin was able to strike at the other nations because a comet made of fire made... Roku tells Aang that 100 years ago, Fire Lord Sozin was able to strike at the other nations because a comet struck and it made the Fire Nation stronger. Mm. He tells Aang that at the end of the summer, another comet will return and it will make Fire Lord Oza too strong for even the Avatar to defeat. Mm. Which means that Aang, who, as a reminder, is a 12-year-old boy, must master all of the elements before the end of the summer.
Talk about a cram session before a pop quiz. My gosh. Like, you got to do all this before the end of the summer, and you've not even mastered... You only really mastered airbending. You haven't mastered waterbending, earthbending, firebending. Like, none of that. I mean, the pressure on this kid. In that moment, you can really feel the weight and how he feels about... that when he's telling him, he's concerned and overwhelmed.
Yeah, I felt really sorry for Aang. First of all, we know that it takes sometimes years to master elements for avatars, and Aang has a matter of months.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of scary, right? And they're still like not near the Northern Water Tribe. Mm-hmm. So if he's going to master... the elements in the order, they're still months away from the first one.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing that gives you a little bit of hope, right? And I think brings him peace is he says to him, but I know you can do it, right? Because you've done it before. So that gives us a little hint that he's mastered them quickly before. So he knows he can do it again, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah. The stakes really got higher in this scene,
yeah.
Right? As they should, right? Speaking to a past life of yours is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously this is happening for a very important reason, which is to raise the stakes and let Aang know that now there's a timeline.
Yeah.
So outside of the chamber, Zhao has arrived. He prepares to capture Aang when he comes out of the chamber because he knows even though he got in and that's not great, he's got to come out eventually. Mm-hmm. Avatar Roku offers to help Aang. He tells him, you know, there's a threat outside of this chamber and it's dangerous and I'll help you face that threat.
If you're ready, I'll help you face that threat. Which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, no, listen, this, we will talk more about all of like the spiritual and intentions and mind stuff at the end. But this is really, this whole episode is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So... when the chamber door opens, it's Roku who appears in his avatar state, and all of the prisoners are able to escape because the fire sages are shook.
Mm-hmm.
There's fire everywhere. Like, it's a scene. Everyone kind of leaves. And the entire temple is about to fall apart. Mm. This is like a massive surge of energy and fire. Katara and Sokka stay because they're waiting for Aang, and Shiyu leaves. I actually don't know what happened to him. He just leaves because he's scared and he knows that the temple is about to fall down.
Mm-hmm.
Aang, who had taken the form of Roku, reappears as himself. Appa and Momo arrive just in time. Thank God.
Yes.
And our gang escapes just before the temple collapses. Zuko watches as they fly away. And upset by his failure, Commander Zhao takes it out on the poor fire sages who were imprisoned.
Ugh, what a trash bag. Anyway. So what we know is that throughout this show, we're going to talk about some major themes that stand out to us about, you know, the way that this is happening in this world and how it relates to just general themes that we experience in our own life, in our own world. And one of the first ones is growth and learning. You know, largely this arc is about learning and opening up to new ways of thinking, I mean, Bumi's lesson to Aang is extremely important, right? He says, you know, in order to embark on this challenge that you're going to have, you're going to have to think outside of the box. You're going to have to think differently, like a mad genius. And we see Aang grows quite a bit in these four episodes. We see him expand. We see him meet one of his previous incarnations. We see him figure out the lessons that were taught to him through a little acorn. We see him learn a lesson from one of his old friends. All of the and from the people who are traveling with him. Like let's be honest, Katara and Sokka have a real like connection to how they can shepherd him to where he needs to go. So this growth and learning is present throughout all four of these episodes, and it's important for us to learn as an audience also.
Yeah, I mean, I found it really interesting that this in education, they talk a lot about having a growth mindset. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what Bumi tells to Aang, that you need to look at things differently, understand that you're going to have to learn things differently. And then Aang takes that advice right away. Mm-hmm. He starts thinking differently and strategizing differently, and also being open to trying new things, even though he's scared. Mm-hmm. So when he's summoning the spirit, he's terrified. He tells Katara he doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah. He has the weight of the world on his shoulders, but he's willing to try anyway, yeah, which speaks to both his bravery and courage, but also to his ability to know that he can try to figure something out.
And is the sense.
And so I really appreciated this theme. And it's through all of these episodes, but also through, you know, the entire show is about changing and growing. So I thought this was very interesting. Definitely. Team Avatar and Team Zuko also exhibit another theme, determination and grit. So this is something they have in common. Mm-hmm. They're very determined to do what they have to do to accomplish their mission. So Aang is determined to bring back balance to the world, despite what it may cost him. He's constantly putting his life at risk so that he can do what he's supposed to do. I don't think he's super comfortable with putting his friends at risk, but he is comfortable with putting himself at risk because he knows that this is his responsibility as the Avatar. Katara is also determined. She always wants to stand up for what's right, even if it's difficult or it seems hopeless. And Zuko is determined to prove himself to his father and to his nation by capturing the Avatar. Determination sometimes can lead to being stubborn or sometimes manifest as stubbornness. And we'll have to see if that becomes an ongoing issue for all of our characters.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. I agree wholeheartedly that there's a definite grit and determination. And I really love that, you know, you see it in the trials as well when Aang is going through the trial with Bumi and he's like, you know, here's your lunch. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to figure it out. He's going to figure out how to get through whatever's going on and make it to the other side. But I wholeheartedly agree with what you're saying. Yeah, for sure. So what do we learn? What do we learn about this world in this episode? That's one thing that we talk a lot about as we're learning and experiencing this show for the first time, and people who may be doing that as well. What things did we learn as an audience?
I mean, the first thing was this introduction to the spirit world, which I think you and I have spoken at length offline about how much we love this.
Yeah.
The spirit world is introduced as a parallel plane separate from the physical world, but at moments it can come closer to the physical world. Mm-hmm. As we learn in episode 7, the Avatar acts as a bridge between the two worlds and appears when the circumstances are right. He can travel and communicate between the worlds and communicate with spirits. But also interestingly, in the spirit world, Aang can't airbend.
Yeah.
He has to rely entirely on his intentions and his instinct. And when he crosses over into the spirit world, his physical body remains in this world. Mm-hmm. So it's clear that spirits can take shape in the physical world, as, you know, Hai Bei does, mm-hmm. right? When it's tormenting the village, it can interact with the physical world. Mm-hmm. But it's not clear yet what people can from the physical world can do in the spirit world. It seems like, you know, obviously Sokka gets trapped there, but he doesn't seem to know that he's trapped, right? Yeah. It doesn't seem like an experience where he even, after it's over, understands what was happening. So I think this is going to be really big in the show, because this is a world, the spirit world is somewhere where you can commune with people who have passed, as we see with Avatar Roku, and spirits can also take the shape of other things, right? So like the spirit that was angry about the nature being destroyed, its form changed, right? Yeah. Like didn't even look like the bear that it originally was. So I think there's a lot to learn about this. I'm interested to see this more. And from a personal standpoint, this is something that I've always been interested in, is the notion of spirits and the world outside of our physical world. Is there one? What does it look like? What, you know, like this is really metaphysical stuff. It's fascinating.
I love it. I love it. And that's what really drew me into about this episode and this aspect of it. These two episodes is exactly what you're talking about. And one thing that came up for me just thinking about it in my own personal interest is that perhaps he can't airbend in the spirit world because bending itself is a spiritual practice and there's no need for it in the spiritual world. That for me, like when I was thinking about it, I was like, oh, well, you know, all these elements maybe are manifested from this spiritual world, and that essentially what I think maybe they may be getting at is that why do you need to airbend or waterbend or firebend or any of those things in the place that that is the source of those things? Like, so I'm really interested in seeing how that develops in the story as well. And it's definitely a personal interest of mine, this kind of connection between the material world and the spiritual world and how things become material and in relationship to that world. And I think the show is introducing that concept pretty early, which is great. So
yeah, I also really just love this because this is even though there are a lot of elements of Eastern culture in the show, this is a show that was created for an American audience. Mm-hmm. And this is not a concept that our religions, Western religions, talk about a lot in this way.
Yeah.
And so I just thought, I love this idea because the idea of a soul is something that we're very connected to, but the idea of reincarnation and of spirit and of a separate plane with a spirit world, yes, of course we have the notion of heaven and of hell, but this is something different.
Yeah.
And so I have to say, I admire the show for taking it there.
Yeah, me too. All right. So another thing that we learned was about this comet. We learned from Avatar Roku that 100 years ago, a comet appeared, and that comet empowered and emboldened the Fire Nation. It amplified their powers, and Fire Lord Sōsun took advantage of these powers. He attacked all the other nations, and that the comet will return by the end of summer, which raises the stakes for Aang and means that our timeline has been accelerated. It's clearly set when he needs to master all of the different elements.
Yeah, as I said last week, this show, the way that it introduces new information is very scaffolded. And so they introduced this to the world last week, and now they're raising the stakes. So now we know that not only does Aang have to do this thing that seemed really difficult, he only has a few months to do it. He has less than a year. So, you know, we never stop feeling bad about Aang. I think that they're up to the task, but it will be interesting to see how they get there. So they're going to have to do some real quick work here so that Aang can do what most avatars have years to do in just a few months. Yeah.
I have faith in him, though. I believe Aang can save the world. I do.
Katara agrees with you. So we also learned a bit more about earthbending. We get to the Earth Kingdom. We've visited before, but now we're really getting to know more about it. First, we learn what earthbenders can really do from King Bumi, who is a very powerful earthbender. And also from Haru and his father, we can learn also the limits of bending, right? So an element actually has to be at hand for you to manipulate it. The limitation of earthbending is when they're on this metal rig, they don't have access to the earth. It's in the middle of the ocean. Yeah. And they don't have any minerals or dirt to manipulate. So even though this is a formidable power, the Fire Nation has found figured out a way to exploit the limitations by just separating, capturing all the Earthbenders and separating them from Earth, which I thought was very interesting.
I did too. I really did. And you know, I really also think that it, you know, there's often, without me having watched the show, I'd see some of our friends asking, you know, which bending skill would you prefer? I mean, the one that's the most present at all times, you would think, would be air, right? Like, because it's always there. Like, that's one thing I was thinking about, water bending. I was reflecting on this, water bending, earth bending. If you take away that element, there's no way to kind of like, I mean, you can have some, you know, like access to it yourself. Like you often see Katara with her bottle and she's using it. But ultimately, like, I mean, the air seems to be the most consistent element that you're able to access, which is something to keep an eye on, in my opinion, too, with how, you know, being that this is the last airbender and why maybe the Fire Nation thought that it was important to wipe out all of the airbenders pretty early. Like, they haven't wiped out every other nation, but they thought pretty early about getting rid of the airbenders. Yes, because the next avatar was going to be an airbender, but also maybe because there's a level of power to being an airbender because of the accessibility to the element.
Yeah, I think that could be that could explain it. We'll have to see. I don't know, right? Yeah. But I thought this was interesting to me, just in how it became really clear how bending has limitations, right? So yeah. I liked the way that they explained that in the episode, because I was like, I don't understand, these earthbenders seem so strong, like,
yeah,
why don't you just, I mean, we see them like capture Iroh pretty easy by creating an avalanche, right? Mm-hmm. It seems like you could pretty quickly overwhelm anybody with earthbending. But they show us that it's not so easy. Like, yeah, it's not super easy. They have to have access to the earth. And if the Fire Nation can figure out a way to separate them, then that's easily done.
Agreed. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. You know, we really appreciate all the new people who have joined us, all the fans of Avatar, The Last Airbender, all of our fervent supporters. Welcome to all of you, and thank you for your support. Please go follow us on Instagram, KinFolklorePod, Twitter, KinFolklorePod, or join our Facebook page. Check out some of the blog posts that we'll continue to be posting on kinfolklore.com, and leave comments, leave ratings. It really helps us out if you guys do that, and we really appreciate all your support, and we're excited to be joining up with the fandom of Avatar, The Last Airbender, and becoming fans and of this work ourselves.
And if you like what you're hearing, and you like our analysis, go check out our previous podcasts on The Witcher and His Dark Materials, if you are fans of those shows. And if you're not fans of those shows, what are you waiting for? Go watch them.
Check them out. They're great.
Yeah, they're really fun.
They're super fun.
And so we'll see you next week.
See you next week.